roll call. Supervisor Thomas.
Here.
Supervisor Poole.
Here.
Supervisor Byrd.
Here.
Supervisor Nowinski.
Present.
Supervisor Stock.
Here.
Supervisor Gashke.
Here.
Supervisor Uhav.
Here.
Sona, I don't know your last name, sorry.
Can you say it, how do you pronounce it again?
Oh, Sona.
Sona, okay, I couldn't hear. He and I over here have a similar issue with the hearing.
What's your last name, Sona?
It's Hopkins.
Yeah, great, thank you, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, so we'll call this meeting to order and we'll start off with citizens' comments and we'll limit those to 3 minutes each. So if there's any citizens' comments. Please state your name and address.
My name is Jody Mirhoff and my address is 7220 First Avenue. And I'm here to speak about the Second Amendment Sanctuary resolution that's on your agenda for today. It should come as no surprise that some of the county board members are prioritizing protecting guns because we've seen that already through some of the first actions you've taken. But it's just still shocking to me that we're prioritizing guns at the same time the little children murdered in Uvalde are being laid to rest. The little children who were not protected despite being surrounded by good guys with guns. It should come as no surprise this resolution is being proposed now, since there was a surge in these Second Amendment resolutions funded by the gun lobby after the gun massacre, which killed 27 children at Sandy Hook Elementary School. A surge in these Second Amendment resolutions funded by the gun lobby after a gun massacre, which killed 17 at Parkland High School. And now we have some members of the Kenosha County Board jumping on the Protect Our Guns bandwagon after a gun massacre, which killed 21 at Uvalde Elementary School. It is a continuing sad statement about the priorities of certain members of the Kenosha County Board who seem to believe access to guns is the most important issue facing our county. It is also a waste of time since these resolutions are both illegal and unconstitutional. The Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution clearly establishes that federal law is supreme to state law. In the event that state law conflicts with federal law, the federal law is the supreme authority. Local officials, no matter how much they love their guns, cannot take the law into their own hands and pick and choose which federal and state laws they think are constitutional. This sets a dangerous precedent and will encourage lawlessness because people will engage in illegal behaviors, believing such a resolution will give them the right to do so. Upholding the actual law was probably part of the oath you took when you assumed office. I hope it is a tremendous honor to be elected to your position on the board, and that you are in awe of the responsibility that has been entrusted to you by your community. I'm going to respectfully ask that you use the precious time you have to serve on this board and your power as elected leaders to do things that will actually improve the quality of life for the people in Kenosha County. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other citizens' comments? Any other citizens' comments?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
I've not done this before, so I'm a rookie at all.
No, you're fine.
Do I need to sit over here? Yeah,
no, you can sit there. Yeah, absolutely. I need you to state your name and your address.
My name is David Hornickle. My address is 7521 35th Avenue, Kenosha. She pretty much said what I was thinking to say. Seems kind of funny that we're this, now correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't know exactly what all the verbiage is for the proposal that you guys are voting on. Does this mean that if the federal government passes a law that you don't like pertaining to guns, if the Second Amendment Sanctuary City is in place, you will not honor that law by the federal government?
Just so you know, we're not able to answer questions if you ask. We're just here.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's fine. That is my assumption of what it means. And that kind of boggles my mind that you are going to pass a law that specifically says you will not enforce a federal law. That seems rather odd. So, and I guess that's really all I need to say. I don't agree with it. It makes no sense. Like she said, people's lives are more important than people's guns. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other citizens' comments? Any other citizens? Yeah. Hello, yeah, please state your name and address, please.
Hello. Hello, my name is Carol McIntaggart. I live at 6675 235th Avenue in Paddock Lake, Wisconsin. Thank you for your time this evening to allow me to comment on the Second Amendment sanctuary resolutions that are proposed. On average, 110 people die in our country from gun violence every day. 100 more are wounded. In Wisconsin alone, on average each year, over 640 people die from gun violence. Over 190 people in Wisconsin die by gun homicides. But tragically, 68% of firearm deaths in Wisconsin are due to suicide. Guns are the leading cause of death among children and teens in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, an average of 50 children, more than 50 children and teens die by guns every year. And again, tragically, 43% of these are due to suicide. Survivors' lives and our communities are devastated and changed forever. Gun violence costs Wisconsin millions of dollars every year. Taxpayer money, billions of dollars of government money. There is broad bipartisan support for common sense gun laws in our country, such as universal background checks and extreme risk protection orders, which allow the removal, confiscation, if you would, of a person's guns after a judge decides that individual poses a threat to themselves or others. It is a legal process. Extreme risk protection orders passed by other countries, by other counties and states, have been upheld in the state's courts. And the courts are the appropriate forum to address your concerns about laws and the Second Amendment. Sanctuary resolutions have no legal basis, and only a court can overturn a state or a federal law. It is improper and dangerous for our county to try to circumvent our state and federal laws. You, as our elected county board of supervisors and the sheriff's office, have an obligation to enforce the laws, including those that help us keep us safe from senseless gun violence. The resolutions would undermine our trust between law enforcement and citizens, and would confuse the citizens on which laws they would have to abide by, including gun safety laws. This is dangerous, confusing, and unnecessary. Please do not pass these resolutions.
Thank you. Are there any other citizens' comments? Any other citizens' comments? Any other citizens' comments?
Good evening.
Yeah, hello. Please, I need you to state your name and your address, and you have 3 minutes.
Thank you.
Not because you came in late, but I said that earlier, then you came in late and didn't hear. But maybe if you
came
were
even
tardy,
later,
you could do that
2 minutes.
No.
I'm Gail Clark Taylor. I reside at 7624 18th Avenue. I'm here tonight concerned about two issues, about lifting the gun ban in county buildings, and also about allowing the county executive to fire at will. I believe very strongly that Kenosha has a very good county government, and it's because of people that have been working in our system for a long time. The heads of departments have worked their way up. I have not heard anything over the 27 years that we've lived in Kenosha about any of these individuals being incompetent or doing their job wrongly or openly defying anyone that's in charge of them. And I don't believe that this is the time to start getting rid of people just because the county executive does not like them for some reason. They deserve the same protections that all the other employees receive. To have recourse to challenging their firing, to have the ability to, my brain is working real well, but they certainly deserve to have the rights of the lower level county workers, not less. Moving up on a hierarchical ladder does not mean that you have less rights. It means that you still have equal rights to everyone that you're working with. So I personally think that this is a very bad practice, and allowing a county executive to have that much input into individuals being hired and fired is a great mistake. This should be left to the HR department, and we should depend on their expertise and training and years of experience to be taking care of these kind of issues. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other citizens' comments? Any other citizens' comments? Any other citizens' comments? We'll close citizens' comments. So we purposely left this agenda very small because I didn't know what to anticipate as far as public citizens' comments. So that's the only report I have. We don't have any reports from any committee members.
I'll report.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I just wanted to report on this topic that I made sure I read every single email that came in support and in opposition to these firearms-related proposals and resolutions, and I tried my very best to reply to every single person. I take it very seriously, and I want everyone to know that there is a broad spectrum of feedback on this resolution that we're facing tonight and on these two here on our agenda. So although sometimes we only see some people come to meetings, there is feedback from other parts of the county.
Anyone else? Okay. Any communications? I guess I do want to acknowledge the Genesis House and the funding with that. I did not have an opportunity to reach out to anybody, but before the next one, hopefully we'll have some feedback from some assembly people if there was even anything that was presented to fund that, because where we were talking about. Is there anything else in that regards communication-wise? No. All right. Someone like to make a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing no discussion, all in favor of the minutes say aye.
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 Opposed? All right. Next on the agenda, we have the number 7, the resolution declaring Kenosha County a Second Amendment sanctuary county. Would anyone like to speak on that? Sean, go ahead.
Well, 2 years ago, Arizona's most populous county, Maricopa County, voted to become a Second Amendment sanctuary, such as what we're talking about here tonight. And actually, the county board, when I was on it 2 years ago, was working on this same resolution. But then, after the election of 2020, there were other problems that were in the way then. But Chairman Clint Hickman defended this resolution by pointing to similar resolutions passed in states like Illinois, California, Colorado, New Mexico, Oregon, Virginia, and Rhode Island. And these resolutions reflect gun owners' growing resentment with the out-of-touch state legislatures and a federal government that has been derelict in its duties to protect our Second Amendment rights. Now, there are currently over 550 sanctuary jurisdictions established by state and local governments. They aim to prevent federal immigration authorities from deporting illegal aliens, including tens of thousands detained by law enforcement for committing additional crimes. So can a city or county nullify as it pleases federal gun registration legislation? Or is nullification only permissible in the interest of non-citizens and lawbreakers? I mean, recently the FBI stormed into an airport to arrest a former Trump advisor, Peter Navarro, for contempt of a congressional subpoena. So, okay, defying federal law has its consequences, or does it? Former Obama administration Attorney General Eric Holder brazenly defied congressional subpoenas and was found in contempt, a historic first. Did the FBI ever arrest Holder, much less as he boarded an airplane? James Clapper, former director of national intelligence, confessed he flat out lied under oath to a congressional committee. So did former CIA chief John Brennan, twice. And Andrew McCabe repeatedly lied to federal investigators as acting director of the FBI. Were any of them ever arrested or tried in the matter of Navarro? If not, what then is left of the foundation of U.S. citizenship? Universal equal treatment under the law. There's one reason why voters are furious. Americans feel that ordinary citizens like them who follow the rules are treated more harshly by their own government than are both non-citizens and our own progressive elites. And that's why we need Second Amendment sanctions protection.
Is there any other discussion? Yeah,
Daniel. I'd just like to reflect on what you said, Supervisor Poole, about last time this was brought up a couple of years ago. I was a little bit unclear what you said happened last time this was brought up to the board. My memory is that it failed to pass. My memory is that it didn't even make it out of committee. And so I'm not sure what it was
that elections, there was COVID.
And so just to be clear, last time this was brought up a couple years ago, it didn't even make it out of committee, it failed. That being said, I'm gonna be voting against this tonight in committee, and I encourage all my colleagues to vote against this. Really what this comes down to is I'm not anti-gun. I'm a gun owner. I enjoy shooting recreationally. As a child, I have fond memories of taking hunter safety course with my dad and my brother, going out shooting and hunting with my uncles. I'm not anti-gun, but what I am is anti-bad government. I'm anti-bad policy, and this is bad policy. This is bad government. We're a legislative body. For those of you who may not be aware, our job is to write laws. Our job is to write statutes and ordinances and resolutions. Our job is not to determine whether or not they are constitutional. That's another branch of government. Think back to high school government class. There's the judicial branch, there's the legislative branch, that's us, and there's the executive branch. Each has their own distinct roles and responsibilities. And when you were sworn into this office, you swore to uphold your constitutional duties, to uphold the law, and to uphold your responsibility as a legislator. Our job is not to decide whether a law is or isn't constitutional. If you think a law is unconstitutional, follow the proper procedures. Take the law to court. See what happens. Allow the judges, allow the people in robes to decide what's constitutional and what's not. That's not our job. We're legislators, and our job is to write good laws, and this is good policy, and this is not good policy. The other thing is, when it comes to enforcement, who is it that determines? Is it we 23 individual supervisors get to determine what's constitutional or not? Is it each individual law enforcement officer riding around in their vehicles? Each individual one gets to decide what is constitutional and what's not? It's crazy. It's ridiculous. The sheriff themselves is their own constitutional elected officer. We have no ability to tell them what laws to enforce or how to fulfill their job and duties. They have their own roles, their own responsibilities. We have our own roles and our own responsibilities. Our responsibility is to write good policy and to encourage our community to follow it. This does none of that. And so I will be voting against this, and I encourage my my fellow colleagues to as well. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion?
Through the chair to John Poole. Supervisor Poole, you mentioned in your statement that there are currently 550 sanctuary jurisdictions for undocumented persons in the country, whether it's municipal or county. Are you familiar with how many jurisdictions there are that are Second Amendment sanctuaries?
I don't have that number. No, I don't.
Okay. The second question is, could you, for the purposes of maybe people who are here tonight, whether they be committee or guests, maybe describe the possibility of some kind of federal or state law that we would want this sanctuary to protect us from?
Well, look, right now what the Senate is trying to pass, you know, with these red flag laws, they can be used for any number of ways, you know, to strip citizens of their Second Amendment rights and property.
Could you elaborate on red flag laws for those who aren't familiar with them?
That's where if somebody thinks you're dangerous, they can report you. And then if you're in one of these red flag jurisdictions, they can strip you of your firearms or,
okay, so for example,
lock you up.
If I speak at a school board meeting in opposition to maybe a new policy, and someone finds my statement to be offensive, they may refer to me as a domestic terrorist, and someone could say, oh, she's dangerous, we should go take her firearms?
Exactly.
Okay. What other kinds of things would we want to be protected from?
Now, this is trying to keep us from overzealous actions by, you know, the Sheriff's Department, and get them to think, remember, this is our constitutional rights that we are trying to protect.
Okay. Through the chair to Supervisor Gashke. In terms of upholding the Constitution, you were talking about, you know, we have a duty, and we are not we're a legislative body that should not be determining the constitutionality of what we write or what we modify. I'm going to go on record and disagree with that. I think that we need to do our due diligence as much as we can before making policy to make sure that it is constitutional so we can avoid having to take it to the courts. I think that for that reason, we have things like Corporation Counsel to consult with. You know, if we're talking about constitutionality, we're talking directly about the Second Amendment in the Constitution. And if there's a federal law that violates that, we swore, like you said, to uphold the Constitution. And lawmaking bodies are not perfect. They sometimes do sidestep the Constitution, and it has to go through the legal process. This is a situation in which we're proposing that there isn't that long, drawn-out process to protect us from that. You know, if there is, for example, a federal law that says you can no longer own a gun, a rifle at 18. And are they going to come and take all the rifles from 18-year-olds? The sanctuary would protect those 18-year-olds, saying, well, they already had that right before, and now they're taking it away. I think that there's a lot more due diligence that needs to be done on this proposal and how it would filter out. But I don't think that we should ignore constitutionality when we make policy.
May I respond to her questions to me?
Sure,
thank
absolutely.
You. So I think anybody who was actually listening to what I said didn't interpret that as me saying we should be writing unconstitutional laws as the county board. I don't think anybody was saying that. And this isn't saying that we shouldn't follow county board ordinances and resolutions. This is talking about things coming from, you know, top down from federal or state. And you're right, there is an appropriate legal process that it should follow. You're right, not every law is perfectly written, but that's for the people in the robes to decide.
Supervisor Uhas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair to Corporation Counsel, can you enlighten us as to if the federal government were to enact certain laws that would have to do with a sanctuary county, would that null and void, if we adopt this, what we have passed? Does the federal government supersede county policy?
As a general matter, yes. Under the Supremacy Clause, federal law would trump state law or local, yes.
Okay. So even if this were to pass, the county board and the federal government were to come down and enact new policies, this county would have to follow those federal guidelines, regardless of this resolution.
I guess I will answer that by saying, without speaking to any of the merits, I'm generally not in the position where I can advise any of my clients to deliberately and intentionally violate or ignore the law, whatever that law might be. I'll just say, Supervisor Poole mentioned sanctuary jurisdictions for immigration. I'll say somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but also not. None of those jurisdictions had me as their lawyer, and I would have advised them the same way, not to be deliberately and intentionally violating or ignoring laws.
So then how would the county go about, if this were to pass, and let's say in 6 months, federal government hands down a ruling enacting certain laws that would conflict with this resolution? What does the county do?
Honestly, I'm not sure how that situation would play out.
Okay. And then another question to Supervisor Poole. On the second, be it further resolved, that the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors will not appropriate any funds for any enforcement of unconstitutional laws against the people of Kenosha County, Wisconsin, and what does that mean?
And we're asking the county board not to appropriate any funds, you know, like for gun buyback programs, things like that. You know, there could be multiple things. That's just one example.
Well, this is very vague, and before I would vote on this, I would want it much clearer. Because if you're saying that if, with the sheriff being a constitutional officer, and you're expecting them to, if they don't follow what you say, you're going to hold their funding, is what I'm reading it as. That means no funding for vehicles, no funding for training, no funding for anything. That is a big overreach, and that's a huge power grab, and that's not our place. So I make a motion to remove that second, be it further resolved, that the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors will not appropriate any funds for enforcement of unconstitutional laws against the people of Kenosha County, Wisconsin.
Second.
Oh, no, I know. I didn't know if you need to wanted to follow up with anything.
Nope, that's
okay,
my
that was
amendment.
All right. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So I'll need a little guidance on this since this is the first time. So we'll have discussion on the amendment.
Motion.
Right. To remove, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then we'll, Supervisor Poole.
Well, actually, that was one of the things that Corp Counsel suggested in some changes here. That was on page 2.
That it be removed.
Yes.
Supervisor Poole, just if I can clarify, these aren't my suggestions. These are suggestions that came from the general counsel for the WCA who shared some concerns that I had, but these are his suggestions, not mine.
he had had discussions with other counties who passed similar resolutions.
And I believe that these are similar suggestions that he made to those counties. I can't speak to the outcome of those conversations, but I assume that these are similar suggestions that he made.
But I just received these this morning from, and was able to read them from Corp Counsel. So yours was?
The second further resolved.
Okay, down there.
Is there any other discussion?
Looks like there's a lot of changes here.
I'm sorry.
Through the supervisor to Supervisor.
No, 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 we're on this amendment.
Correct.
Only discussion on just this.
On your.
Yes.
Yes.
Not the other changes. We're just talking about this specifically.
The one where we wanted to leave.
I agree with Supervisor Juhas that we may want to be more explicit in specifying what kind of funds those would go be relevant to. We certainly wouldn't want to put the safety of the community at risk. I think we could explore that.
Supervisor Stein.
What if it was reworded to say not appropriate any additional funds? So we're not taking anything away from our existing, but just change it to read not appropriate any additional funds to the rest of the deliberation. I guess I don't know if I could offer that to amendment to yours, otherwise
I would reject that.
I would vote against this.
So no, I will not accept that friendly amendment.
Supervisor Byrd?
Yeah, no, I'll go ahead and agree with what Supervisor Juhas says, and it sounds like we're coming to a consensus on this, but the example given, such as gun buyback programs, those programs take illegal guns off the street. Am I correct? When the police departments do gun buyback programs in blighted neighborhoods or
some of those might be, I mean, who knows? And some might be legitimately owned.
So you would be fine with just leaving those illegal guns out there by not having the gun buyback program and just leave the illegal guns out there?
Some gun buyback programs force people to sell their guns back. So,
which programs are those?
There's none right now, but they have in other countries. So it's within the realm of possibility. That
I mean, there's always a realm of possibility of everything.
That's the whole point of this resolution.
Okay. I would wager to say it's 99.9% to 0.1% that's not happening in these United States when the example is other countries. So with that, I'm going to agree with support Supervisor Juhas's amendment.
Just because I'm a touch confused, your amendment was to reword this or to delete this?
Remove.
To remove, that's correct. Okay. Is there any other discussion on Supervisor Juhas's motion to remove?
Supervisor Juhas, would you be open to exploring making that reference to funds more explicit?
No, I am not.
Is there any other discussion? Seeing none, we'll take a vote on removing the second, be it with further resolved, that'd be correct. Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed?
Well, could we go ahead and do a roll call? Roll call. Or was that 1, 2, 3, 4?
It was four ayes and three nays.
You're accepting the motion?
For that removal, yes.
I'd like a roll call on that as well.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
We'll start with Supervisor Juhas.
Aye.
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 Nay.
Aye. Aye. The amendment passes. to remove, and then we'll continue discussion on the resolution and as amended.
I ask that you guys, the committee goes through the changes that are recommended by the state, that are listed on the sheet that Supervisor Poole passed out. I don't agree with all of them, but obviously I'm open to discussion on all of them.
Sure.
I do want to let the committee know that the state legislature did pass a Second Amendment sanctuary state resolution, but it was vetoed by the governor. So,
can I have a copy of that?
There's an extra one.
There should be.
Thank you. I wonder, are you there?
No, no, I think we have enough.
So would you like to help us guide through these? I'm happy to, if that's the pleasure. As I indicated, I did share this with Attorney Andrew Phillips, who's the general counsel for the WCA. He shared my concerns, again, not about the underlying premise of the resolution, but about the possibility that there was some overbreadth in the resolution going beyond what's really the purview of the County Board of Supervisors into sort of two general categories. One has been somewhat addressed with this First Amendment, and that was dealing with a possible separation of powers issue in directing a separate constitutional officer, the sheriff, how to conduct and enforce law enforcement, an inherent power of that office. And second, as has also sort of been addressed, questions of supremacy and whether or not it is the place of the County Board of Supervisors to determine either before a law is passed or afterwards whether that law is constitutional or whether that is a determination, as has been argued, for the judicial branch rather than the County Board of Supervisors. To that end, the suggestion that he made somewhat to look at those concerns and also to sort of clean up, some of the language. At the bottom of the first page, which I believe is seventh, whereas clause, he is suggesting replacing the people of Kenosha County for the Board of Supervisors of Kenosha County. I think simply sort of a technical matter that you are, while you are the elected representatives, as far as the resolution is concerned, you are speaking and expressing the opinion of the board on these issues. So that was his first suggestion. I'm assuming, and perhaps I shouldn't, you always know what happens when you assume, that the preference is that I touch on all of these and then the committee can go back and address any one of them they want to, rather than going individually. So the second one, you'll note, is on the second page, the second whereas clause there. He indicated he just thought the wording was a little awkward, and I do have some language to just sort of rewrite it briefly. I have, whereas the Kenosha County Board, being elected to represent the people of Kenosha County, are duly sworn by their oaths of office to uphold the United States Constitution and the Constitution of the State of Wisconsin. I think that's still...
Yes,
absolutely. Here's the one I
would...
Yep, no problem. I don't think that changes anything really in the intent or meaning. I think it just sort of cleans up the language a little bit. The next one under the next whereas clause would be to clarify, so striking to keep and bear arms and replacing it with under the Second Amendment at the end of that clause, and doing something similar at the next whereas clause. So I guess if we're consistent, we don't necessarily need to strike to keep and bear arms. We could either strike it in both of those whereas clauses or keep it in both and just add under the Second Amendment. The second to last whereas clause Again, striking "and being" and replacing it with the word "are." Again, I think that's more of a grammatical thing. And then he is suggesting, as it says, deleting the next paragraph. I'll say, as I advise the authors of the resolution, he didn't provide me with a specific reason why. I'm suspecting, again, that he was concerned, was overly specific in indicating certain restrictions which could, if enacted and challenged, be found to be constitutional by a court of competent jurisdiction. He then also is suggesting striking not only the "be it further resolved" that the committee just amended out, but the one before that, affirming its support of the sheriff to exercise sound discretion to not enforce against any citizen an unconstitutional firearms law. Again, I suspect that his thought there is just as we swear an oath to the Constitution, so does the sheriff. And again, it's generally speaking not the sheriff's determination whether a law is unconstitutional or not. Thought process being that if a court has found it unconstitutional, of course it's not going to be enforced by any competent and appropriate enforcement mechanism. Those are the suggestions that Attorney Phillips made, and again, I believe they're consistent with suggestions he's made to other counties that have taken up similar.
Okay, so after, thank you, Joe. After Corporate Counsel's explanation, my opinion is, I like the wording on the front because we're talking about the Constitution. It's "we the people," it's not "we the county board of supervisors." So personally, I would keep the way it is. On the back, the second whereas down, personally, I'm fine with that. The wording, I'm okay with that. Leaving it in as is. The recommended, the next two whereas is, adding the "under the Second Amendment." Personally, I think that's fine. It just clarifies it that we're speaking about the Second Amendment when we talk about keeping beer at arms. The whereas, where we're striking "and being" and changing to "are," obviously I'm fine with that too. That's just cleaning it up. I don't believe we need to delete that full whereas. The any legislation. Again, it's, as I said at the last committee meeting I was at, the whereas is our statements of opinion or fact. There's no action in whereas is, so there's nothing that the county is going to do because of that whereas clause. So I personally I'm fine with that line. And then I am also in favor of striking the first "be it further resolved," because it is a possible it can be read of regarding infringement on the separation of powers with the constitutional officer. And then obviously the second one that was stricken out has already been removed via the vote. So that's just my opinion.
Thank you. Supervisor Poole.
Okay, I'll move to make these changes except for the deleting of that, the paragraph, the last whereas.
So you're making that in the form of a motion?
Yes, I'm making a motion. Except
Supervisor Gould?
Yes.
Would you like to keep the, in the third whereas down? Keep the words in "to keep and bear arms," just like the whereas below it, so it's consistent.
Where is that?
They're recommending striking that and putting that in, but they left it in below, and Corp Counsel said just keep it the same either way.
Yeah.
I like "under the Second Amendment."
And keeping the bare arms in both counts.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a second on Supervisor Poole's motion?
Second.
There's a second. Any discussion?
So, if I'm hearing right, you said yes, minus the deletion.
Correct.
So, number seven is changing "people" to the Board of Supervisors. That's the seventh whereas. The ninth whereas changing and to R, the 10th whereas, striking to keep and bear arms under the Second Amendment, the 11th whereas, striking to keep and bear arms under the Second and switching it with under the Second Amendment, the 13th whereas, striking and being, switching it to R, and striking the 16th or the first be further resolved.
We already struck the first one. We'd also
no, we
strike
struck the second one.
Did the second.
Okay.
Yeah, that was
correct.
Motion.
Okay.
Supervisor Poole, did you want to leave that bottom whereas on the first page as inalienable right by the people of Kenosha County, or do you want it to be changed to the Board of Supervisors?
Well, it's we the board that are making this, so Board of Supervisors.
Is there any other discussion?
As on the motion to accept the changes, is it what we're talking about? On this first, be it further resolved, rather than striking it out, would you be open to rewording it to say now be it further resolved that the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors affirms its support of the sheriff's to exercise sound discretion to not enforce against any citizen, and then from this point, this is what I'm adding, any unlawful restrictions infringing the rights of the citizens of Kenosha County under the Second Amendment.
I'd be open to that.
Okay. My reason being in on the resolution as a whole is that in the not so distant past, we had executive orders come down from the state that were deemed to be unconstitutional, and our sheriff's department and law enforcement was left trying to figure out what the heck do they do when we have, when they're slammed with something that you would think would be quite obvious is an unconstitutional overreach from the state. In regarding closing churches or, you know, those kind of things. But everybody was looking at our law enforcement as the means of enforcement on these policies, and there was a whole lot of confusion on a lot of different levels. So that's why I see the reason for, obviously we're not going to ask our sheriff's department not to enforce the law or not to enforce, you know, our laws. That's their job. But when we have something like we had in the past come down that is an obvious unconstitutional law or an unlawful overreach from the state or from wherever it may be, I still think it would be a good idea to affirm our support of the sheriff's, you know, like it was originally worded. So that would be everything else I'm okay with as you motion.
How does that change the meaning?
I'm just going to go back for a second. So you accept it as friendly?
Yes.
Okay.
How does that change the meaning of that statement by saying something unlawful or unconstitutional? Because you're still making an assumption that the sheriff can make a subjective decision that something is unlawful.
If the courts have decided that it is.
If the courts have decided.
Then that's the law at that point. But I'm just wanting to make sure we can cover, you know, an executive order or something that isn't written in stone. I just want to make sure that's where the sheriff has to make that decision on enforcement.
Here's the Chair of Corporation Council.
Yep.
Could you once again clarify that third be it resolved from the bottom, why you think it was recommended to strike?
I think I think that it was recommended to strike that again on the grounds that we were, or the resolution was potentially violating the separation of powers by injecting the legislative branch into the, as I think you described, subjective decision-making power of an independent constitutional officer whose sole duty or primary duty is to enforce the law. I think, and again, I don't want to make any presumptions, but I think I may be having the same challenge that you are, Supervisor, in terms of deciding how, respectfully, how your language is significantly different from the proposed language. I understand the suggestion you're making, but again, I think you're still, whether we're calling it unconstitutional or unlawful, things are presumed to be both when they're passed. They are not unlawful or unconstitutional until such time as, and this is a lawyer speaking, I'm not talking about policy, until such time as a court finds that they are unlawful or unconstitutional. There's a presumption of constitutionality if something's been passed. I understand, I think the argument that you're making, but again, I'm not sure that it's...
I'm speaking to more like an executive order that comes, that hasn't really, you know, passed the muster.
I would simply say, to that, you know, there were executive orders at the start of the pandemic. They were challenged, they were struck down. There was a process that went through, and there was a court finding that those were improper, and that was the end of it.
Supervisor.
Joe, but isn't there, by the wording here, especially with the last, be it resolved, a presumption of unconstitutionality? Because it says any legislation, or does hereby propose the enactment of any legislation without specifying what it is. What legislation? You could, in this case, it's anything. It's so broad that it just says if any legislation is enacted, it is by definition unconstitutional. So really, the language of the resolution, especially in the last paragraph, seems to me to imply that nothing in principle could be constitutional. Any and all regulations, by definition, are unconstitutional. Am I reading that correctly? It seems to be the case. The deletion part, the one that Supervisor Decker mentioned that is an opinion, I take that point. But what happens is, in the be it further resolved, that's where the action takes place, and is saying that the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors does hereby oppose the enactment of any, assuming my definition of any would be any or all, that would infringe upon the right of people to bear arms and consider such laws to be unconstitutional. How do we, as a legislative body, determine that? We don't have to, because by definition, we're basically telling the sheriff any law.
I guess, and certainly I can't speak for the authors, and I don't intend to speak for the authors. My read on that is that it is a policy statement that's indicating it is the opinion of the board that such legislation would be unconstitutional, and that they are affirmatively stating to the legislature their opposition to the same. That was how I read that. And again, I don't want to speak for Supervisors Decker, but that was how I read it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Supervisor Byrd, did you have your hand up?
In regards to this, I'm not gonna. I support the original amendment that removes the 16th paragraph or the first be further resolved. But as the changing it from the unconstitutional to unlawful, it doesn't change anything in my eyes. And I think Corporation Counsel kind of explained that to us. So as it sits right now as the amendment, because it's been accepted. I don't know if the second was accepted also to that amendment, but right now I won't support the current amendment changing it from unconstitutional to unlawful.
Okay, so let me go back just in case I made a mistake somewhere. On a friendly amendment, does that have to be seconded and voted upon, or is it just accepted by the originator?
There's really technically yet no such thing as a friendly amendment. It really should be voted on unless there is unanimous agreement that it can be accepted.
Okay. All right, so let's have, if there are any discussion on the amendment to amend the changes that Supervisor Stock.
So he didn't actually make a motion.
Oh, he didn't make a motion.
I was just in discussion, I guess.
All right. So would you like to make a motion for discussion to add to Supervisor Kohl's?
I don't think I can, because you have a motion on the floor, so if it's...
Let's continue with my motion.
So we have to vote on that one.
And then if we want to make any additional changes.
Thank you for your patience while I sort this out first time going around. I just want to make sure we get it right, that's all. So I'd rather err on the side of ignorance and stupidity than overreach. So, okay, is there any other discussion on Supervisor Kohl's motion to accept the changes less the delete, correct?
Correct.
I have, through the chair to court counsel, can you restate why this third, excuse me, the first be it further resolved, it's recommended to strike that?
And again, I think that Attorney Phillips was concerned that it was injecting the county board into the sheriff's discretion and constitutional authority in terms of law enforcement. I'm assuming that was the reason behind it.
Okay, I just want to make a comment that we're not telling the sheriff to do anything here. We're just affirming that we're supporting the sheriff in his decision. So in my opinion, we're not, that is not telling the sheriff to do something, so we're not overstepping our separation of powers in that statement. We're just affirming the support, which is completely different than telling them. So I just want to state that so we realize what it actually states, because it seems that sometimes people don't read the entire sentence and understand the entire statement. They just cut it off and say what they think it means when they don't read the entire statement. Or at a previous meeting, they don't know like how its sentence is structured and actually read like the verbs as opposed to the entire statement. So I just want to state that. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion?
Through the chair to Corporation Council again. In the event that the county board were to pass such resolution as proposed, amended, could you please clarify for everyone here how this affects the role of the sheriff?
As
it pertains to any law related to firearms at the state or federal level, does it tell the sheriff what to do? Does it empower the sheriff to ignore a law? Can the sheriff go against this resolution in his capacity or her capacity, I suppose?
It is, as written, it does not appear to be specifically directing the sheriff in one way or another. If that's the question you're asking.
So in theory, the county board passes this resolution, okay? And a new sheriff is elected this fall, or the current sheriff is presiding. What authority would this resolution have over the sheriff and his deputies in regard to enforcing or not enforcing laws? How can this resolution or statement or sanctuary county be enforceable?
It's an excellent question. I suppose it provides guidance, it provides support, if you will, if a sheriff were to decide to take it upon themselves which laws to enforce or not enforce. But I mean, in terms of the, it certainly isn't directing it, and in terms of enforcing, if you will, I'm not sure what that mechanism would look like.
So in theory, sheriff could totally ignore this resolution and he wouldn't be out of line.
Other than the inherent concern that a sheriff who ignores the county board potentially endangers their funding, but yes.
Right, but I mean, he's not breaking the law. He's acting within his capacity as the sheriff, legally.
That would be my take, yes.
So when Supervisor Decker says, really this third from the bottom, be it resolved, is just the county board saying it affirms its support of the sheriff to exercise sound discretion. It's not directing the sheriff to do something, saying we support the sheriff to exercise sound discretion. That's not a, we demand you do it this way.
That certainly, I think, is a fair read. It does appear to provide, I'll stop my sentence there.
So, in theory, the whole resolution is just an opinion of the county board.
That would be one way of looking at it.
The county board has no way to enforce the sheriff do something a certain way, correct?
Well, again, if
unless legally.
If the intent is that this is the policy, then certainly one would assume that the board would want its policy to be carried out, and that, I think, is where the potential tension comes in.
If it's policy, though, and the board does not have the legal right to govern over the sheriff in terms of how he or she enforces the law, because that's a separation of powers, it's really not an enforceable policy. I mean, certainly, in theory, we want the county board and the sheriff's department to work together, you know, in cooperation. But you could really look at the whole resolution as this is an opinion of the county board. It's not really even technically enforceable.
It could be viewed as aspirational, yes.
Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on the amended? Supervisor Poole? So there's no other discussion. We'll take a vote on the amendment. If you want to review what that is, everyone's familiar with what.
To the chair, that amendment is all of the changes minus the delete.
That's correct.
Okay. Or all the proposed.
Is it even this one?
Mm-hmm. Everything in blue ink except the delete.
Except for that. Okay.
Correct. Okay, we'll start to do a roll call. We'll start with Supervisor Stein.
Aye.
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 Aye. All right, so it passes. So. All right, now we go back to the discussion on how the amended, twice amended resolution. So is there any discussion? Amendment as amended. Yeah, Supervisor Byrd.
I guess I kind of answered my question already on what Supervisor Nedwiski had just spoken about this basically being more of an opinion of the board. But my original question to this was, on page 2, it says, whereas the people of Kenosha County, Wisconsin, derive an economic benefit from all safe forms of firearms, so on and so forth. What is the economic benefit to that, to the county on that?
Ammunition sales, firearm sales, taxes collected on ammunition, things like that.
Not beyond what we already have.
Right.
Okay. By us passing this, does this provide opportunity for grants from the state or from the federal government or anything of that sort?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. You had mentioned earlier a quick discussion on red flag laws. And the suggestion was somebody says something that people don't like at a school board meeting and somebody calls them a domestic terrorist and somebody complains or they take that to, I mean, what's that, what is that process? You know, it sounded very easy to say so-and-so is a domestic terrorist and I'm making a complaint to the judge or to the police department or the school board. And then from that point on, they can take their guns from them? I mean, what is that process right now?
Well, right now, they haven't, you know, submitted that law at the federal level or the state level yet, so we don't know exactly what that would be.
Are there red flag laws in the other states in this country that are enacted?
I believe there are a couple out on the East Coast, yes.
Okay. And, I mean, what are their examples of the process today? have to see a psychiatrist, a social worker, before they're deemed unsafe?
Point of order. This has nothing to do with the resolution.
It was brought up. It was brought up in discussion by the writer, by the author. So.
Was referenced.
Still not on the resolution.
Yeah.
So I should have asked for point of order earlier when that was not part of this resolution.
Sure. During the discussion, I asked for an example. That was used as an example.
Okay. On page 2, the 7th whereas, which is on the WCA's version, the deleted portion.
I'm sorry, which section?
That big paragraph.
The big paragraph, the deleted portion that the WCA talked about. In it, it talks about ban of possession in the second line and or use of any weapons, including firearms, magazines, ammunition, or body armor. From magazines, ammunition, or body armor, that technically is not covered under the Second Amendment. As of right now, my amendment would be to strike magazines, ammunition, and or body armor from that whereas.
Second.
I'm sorry, who was second?
Gasky.
Okay.
Has that not been already been deleted from the entire resolution?
No, you did not delete that.
That was
everything but that one.
Yeah.
Got it.
So is there any discussion on the motion to amend?
I think that there's it's troublesome because the Second Amendment has such a different interpretation for so many people. And as a firearms owner, I would say the magazine is part of my firearm. Right? So I wouldn't strike that. I would say that ammunition is part of the use of firearms. Holding a gun and not having ammunition leaves you powerless. Body armor, I don't know if that falls under the Second Amendment. Any other discussion?
Do you want to make a motion to that?
No, there's already a motion on the floor.
I'm sorry?
There's already a motion.
Yours to
no.
amend
no,
his?
No, I didn't make
okay,
a motion
right.
to amend.
Okay, is there any other discussion to amend that 7th whereas on page 2?
Make the motion. State the motion.
So the motion as I heard it was to remove the words magazine, ammunition, or body armor from that whereas. Is that correct?
Correct.
Is there any other discussion? Right, not hearing it. We'll close discussion. We'll take a vote. Do I need to make a motion? I don't need to take a vote to close discussion on this, do I?
No.
All right. Okay. All in favor of the amendment to modify 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the 7th whereas? Go ahead. We'll start with you, Supervisor Berg.
Aye.
Nay.
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 Nay. Aye.
Aye.
Passes?
Fails.
No, fails.
I'm sorry?
It fails.
Oh, it failed. How many do we need?
Four.
Four.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yes. Sorry. Sorry for the wording. All right. Okay. So we're back to the original amendment now, or not the original amendment, but the original resolution.
As amended.
As amended, yeah.
Joe, through the chair to Corporation Council, you did indicate earlier that if the federal government were to pass certain laws, this resolution is superseded by federal law, correct?
That would be my conclusion, yes.
Okay. So, Joe, I'm going to need your help. So I would like to add a be it further resolved.
You're adding another?
I am.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure I understood.
Be it further resolved. If the federal government passes legislation, that legislation supersedes this resolution. Because I think it's very important for citizens in Kenosha County to understand, even if this passes and federal law changes, this is null and void. And I think people are under the assumption, like Ms. Decker said, people don't read. They take bits and pieces and they run with it. And I think it's important that we are very clear to our constituents on both sides of this issue that if federal law is enacted and things change, this resolution changes as well. So my question to Corporation Counsel is wording? What?
I mean, it is obviously the will of the committee. I think the wording that you indicated certainly states your intent.
Okay.
We need a, you're making that in the form of a motion.
Yes.
Second.
Seconded by Supervisor Byrd.
Did you receive the motion?
I can read it if you want. I wrote it down. It would be to add a be it further resolved that if the federal government passes, might want to say firearms legislation.
Okay, I'm fine with
such
that.
Such legislation supersedes this resolution.
Is there any discussion?
Through the chair to Supervisor Poole. Wouldn't this addition nullify the whole purpose of the resolution?
It would seem to me, yes.
We've already determined that this resolution, if passed, is technically unenforceable. Okay. The legislative body, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Corporation Counsel, is not the enforcer. The sheriff is the enforcer, is that correct? Okay. Supervisor Poole, could you please summarize the intention of the resolution and why this amendment would nullify the entire intent of the resolution?
Well, the resolution is designed to let the people know in this county that we support the Second Amendment. And that language right there would, like you said, nullify it. So.
All right. So it is meant to be a statement that says, please correct me if I'm wrong, if the federal government passes a law that has not yet been determined constitutional or not constitutional by a court, that this county will recognize ahead of time that that law is not in line with the Second Amendment as interpreted by this body. Am I close?
You're close.
Okay, so it's meant to say if the federal government passes some kind of red flag law or some kind of I'm gonna come and take your guns law, that this body recommends and supports the sheriff to not act on that, to not enforce that, but has no authority over that sheriff to force them to act on it or not act on it. So it's really up to the sheriff whether or not to choose to enforce a federal law. It's not up to the county board. Is that correct, Corporation Counsel?
Yes.
Thank you.
So since I still have the floor, then why do we even have this? I just come full circle. Why do we even have this? If it's unenforceable and federal law, as Corporation Counsel has stated, supersedes county. And the sheriff, this is what's wrong with government. I mean, you said it yourself, Supervisor Nedwinski. We heard from our own counsel that if the federal government enacts certain policies, we have to follow them. It could take years before a court takes something up. So if this is an opinion piece, that's what it is. Because it has no teeth. It has no merit. It has nothing except something that you can go back to your constituents and say, hey, at election time, I supported the Second Amendment. It's pomp and circumstance. Because we're hearing tonight from our Corporation Counsel that federal law supersedes everything. And maybe I'm interpreting something wrong. Can someone share with me, enlighten me? Because I'm... I don't know what to say.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Through the chair to Corporation Counsel. Earlier, Joe, I believe I heard you say that from your legal perspective, it's presumed that if a law is passed by a legislative body, that it is constitutional.
Speaking legally, yes.
Yes, from a legal perspective.
The presumption is that legislative bodies act appropriately and constitutionally.
Until such a time as it would be challenged in court and determined to be unconstitutional.
As a legal principle, yes.
Right. So this is my fundamental question. You know, this is a two-page document here, and we've made lots of amendments, but I really think this comes down to one question. And I'll direct this to you, Supervisor Poole, since you're the primary presenter of this. My question is, who, according to your proposal here, who determines what's constitutional? Who? Who is it?
It's simply asking the sheriff to consider what he's doing before he enforces some things that could take away people's rights.
So the sheriff determines what's constitutional?
Yes, the sheriff is the chief law enforcement officer of the county.
So according to your...
That's why the sheriff is mentioned in here.
So according to your proposal, it's the responsibility of the...
amendment on the floor.
Go ahead and finish your thought.
According to your proposal here, it's the responsibility of the sheriff to determine the constitutionality of every law.
He's the chief law enforcement officer, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any more discussion on the amendment for Supervisor Juhasz?
I have some questions. Yes. In response to what is the purpose, we may go back to the comparison of Sanctuary City for undocumented persons. So we have 550. Was that the number? 550 sanctuary communities, whether they be municipalities or counties, in which federal law is not being followed or enforced, even though we have discussed repeatedly that that's the top tier that takes precedent over state and municipal. And what is being done in those sanctuary cities? You have local municipalities and local legislative bodies that are supporting the outright denial of federal law by making their cities sanctuary cities. So we're drawing the same analogy here by saying, no, we cannot enforce this. This is up to the sheriff to make those determinations. I would disagree that the sheriff decides constitutionality. I think that the sheriff has to make subjective decisions. But this is merely a statement of the county board saying we support the Second Amendment and we are going to do our best to try to protect that.
Is there any other discussion? There's no discussion.
Yeah, just to answer the question as well, the reason I won't be supporting the amendment, but to the larger question that you posed, all I see that this is that it basically, you know, shows the support to the sheriff in that when he has to make a decision, when it's not crystal clear, when there's an executive order that comes down, when there's something that, you know, where he would have to make a judgment call, where the county board is basically advising him to err on the side of our constitutional rights. That's kind of what I see the intent as being. That's kind of how I'm reading this and how it's presented. So I would not be supporting that amendment.
Is there any? Yeah, Andy.
So, I mean, we were talking about affirms. Now we're talking about advise. I mean, is this to advise the sheriff or is this to affirm the sheriff? I mean, that's the...
It affirms support.
Affirms. Okay, so it's not to advise. Okay. Just put that out there.
Is there any other discussion? Can you repeat the spin a little bit? Can
you repeat the amendment? Supervisor Juhas's proposed amendment would be to add, be it further resolved that if the federal government passes firearms legislation, such legislation supersedes this resolution.
Supervisor Juhas, you can read that.
Aye.
Daniel?
Aye.
Aye.
Nay.
No.
Nay.
No.
Okay, so we're back to the amended. That fails. Amendment fails. So we're back to the amended resolution as amended twice. Is there any discussion?
Yes. The last, be it further resolved, can't say I'm a big fan of the "and to be an act of tyranny." There are, I mean, how many amendments do we have right now that are amendments to the Constitution that have been changed over the years?
All right, can you just go back for a second? You're talking about the last six words or so? Exactly.
Correct. Okay. "And to be an act of tyranny." That's my discussion right now is, of the other amendments and laws and whatnot that are in this country, amendments have been made based on their illegality or their unconstitutionality. And does that mean that when the slave ran away from the slave owner that he was a tyrant, that he was acting in tyranny at the time? Because that was the law of the land. Slavery was legal. I think that having that in there, so my amendment would be to remove that and to be an act of tyranny, because I don't think that's a position for us to be making on our people.
So just to clarify, so we would put a period after legislative authority and delete everything after that? Is that what?
Correct.
Is there a second?
Second.
So is there any discussion?
I'm going to call a question.
I just want to correct. Someone calls the question and there is discussion.
So the motion would be called question on this amendment because it's what's on the floor currently. Requires a second, theoretically, two-thirds vote to then end debate. You could probably just also see if anyone wants to discuss.
Okay, and that's only on
the amendment.
Supervisor
Burke's
okay.
Amendment, correct.
Okay. So we need a second after. Is there a second? Hearing no second, is there any further discussion on Supervisor Burke's motion? Hearing none, All in favor? We'll do a roll call. All in favor of this motion? We'll start with Supervisor Byrd.
Aye.
Nay.
Nay.
Aye.
Nay. Aye.
Aye.
Passes. All right, so we're back to the original amendment. A resolution as amended three times now. So is there any further discussion?
I move to call the question.
Second.
Is there any discussion?
On calling the question?
No, there's no. Okay, all right. So we'll have a roll call vote. Go ahead and start with.
On calling the question?
I don't know, I'm trying to, is that how you?
Technically there should be a vote because it takes 2/3. If it's clear that there isn't anyone else wants to speak, I think we can just move to the vote.
Aye.
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 Aye. All right. It passes. The closed discussion. Now it's a vote on the resolution as amended three times, correct? Yep. Is anyone not clear on what the amendments have that we're all clear on that? All right. So start with Supervisor Poole.
Aye.
Nay.
Nay.
Aye.
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 This resolution passes. I'm looking for some guidance here because we are going to run into the board meeting. Should we let someone know that we are going to be running late?
We certainly can do that. My suggestion would be that we simply adjourn and put the other matter on for the next meeting. Board can't really proceed without going upstairs.
You know, I understand that. That's why I was asking.
So motion to adjourn?
Second.
Hold on.
But again, we certainly can send someone upstairs and say,
need
a few more minutes.
So we would make a, I want to get this right instead of rushing through this if that's fair. So we would make a motion to table this?
I mean, you could. I don't think it's necessary. We would certainly place it on the next meeting.
Is there anyone opposed to addressing this at the next meeting? All right, someone made a motion.
Second.
All in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you all. Those that are here, thank you all as well. Guidance.